Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing? Have you recovered? What's going down, Mr. COVID?
I didn't realise you were starting then, Chris. I've just been munching my blooming breakfast cereal. Never mind. Aww. Yeah, I'm fine, man. I'm fine. I'm busy. But I'm still convalescing, still getting over the old COVID. But everything's fine and dandy, as much as anything can be fine and dandy when you've been a little bit ill and people are expecting things from you when you're a bit tired.
Oh, poor old Pete. Well, hopefully it'll all be over soon. Hopefully it'll be over, this ordeal. Oh, man. I just being an adult's rubbish sometimes, isn't it? You know, growing up as a kid, I always wanted to be an adult. I thought it'd be fun. I could drive a car, I could fly in a plane and go wherever I wanted. And then today, I had like 3 bills to pay. And I was just like, this is boring. And I was walking down the street with bills, going into 7-Eleven, paying for my water and electricity. And I was like, this is shit. What's fun about this? Why
What's
paying
fun
for
about
things?
This?
It's rubbish though, isn't it? This is what adulthood is. Mopping a floor. I've got to hoover the studio sometimes. I've got to tidy the studio. Yeah. You know, all of that was done for you when you were a kid. Unless, you've got parents that are ruthless, which mine wasn't.
Yeah, but you've designed like a little studio that's all, it's like a back street. So, I mean, presumably more dust, more filth, more rubbish. You can never be untidy in your studio because by its very nature, it's an untidy scene.
It's going to be coated, isn't it? It's already coated in like biscuits and chocolate and sandwiches and... I won't tidy it. I won't hoover it. I'll just leave it. And it'll give it a feel like a real street. It'll smell like a real street, a real sewage.
Some urine, just wee in the corner, don't bother going to the toilet. And you've you could put like, you know when you see in the back street of like any city really, but at the middle of a metropolitan district, you'll always see like... an empty, massive drum of cooking oil every single time. There'll always be an empty, big drum of cooking oil.
It's always there. It's always there. I don't know why.
And you always think, ooh, there's probably loads of oil in there I could use.
I'll get one in the studio. But, you know, being an adult is good for the most part. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's just those pockets of boredom, those pockets of rubbish, paying for bills, tidying things up. I wish there was a way that I could just not do that and just shirk the responsibility of being an adult. But, you know, that's it, innit? I didn't come here to rant about being an adult.
Sounds like
you did.
Sounds like exactly why you came here, to have a rant. Stop me from eating my breakfast cereal and rant about paying bills. We've all got them, mate. We've all got them. Some of us more than others. And I imagine things like broadband and things like phone bills and stuff, probably less than what I'm paying.
I don't know about that. It's just things in Japan are expensive. Maybe I could hire like an assistant. I could hire like an assistant who could do it all for me. Would that be...
What, to do your dirty, clean your washing and... You want a mum. You want your mum to live with you. That's what
Fly
you need.
Out.
You
Fly
need a
out,
mum.
Get it done. No, I don't know. I'd kind of like an assistant. Can't really afford it or justify it at this point. I think if I lived in the UK, I would build a business and I'd get an assistant and it'd be cool, like in the movies. Mm. where I could turn to my assistant and be like, do this, do that thing, make that appointment, get me a reservation
at a restaurant. Edit the Brunch Fun podcast because Peter is very busy.
Yeah, fill in for Pete. Get me a reservation at McDonald's. And I could do that, but I have to do it all myself. And I just, when you do a podcast, when you do like a YouTube channel and a Patreon and everything in between, doing the things like paying bills and mopping the floor, it gets a little bit tricky to juggle everything. Yeah. And I'm not doing a very good job delegating. Even now, I've got a great editor who's been doing some fantastic work, but I still insist on sort of having the final cut. Right, so he'll edit it and he'll do like most of the work, get all the narration and narrative in place. He'll send it to me, and then I'll be like, I need to spend a day on this, and then I'll do things to the video that probably don't need to be done, just because I'm just rubbish at just letting it go. You know, what are my weaknesses? I'm rubbish.
One of my weaknesses,
just delegation, just a maniacal control freak, dickhead. Honestly, moron. We've got a story this week from Ben, who says, hello, Chris and Pete. My name's Ben from Eatontown. Eatontown. Eatontown in New Jersey. Ooh. I want to share a few memories from when my wife and I visited Japan in summer of 2019 for our honeymoon. My wife is a huge baseball fan, so we decided to catch a Hanshin Tigers game when we were visiting Osaka. We originally tried to buy tickets in the convenience store, but they were sold out at the kiosk. I thought that there was a mistake and that there was no way they could actually be sold out. So we went to the stadium on the day to buy tickets, and it was really sold out. Oh dear. We were crushed, but I didn't give up, and I began looking around for ticket scalpers. Ticket scalpers. I found a man selling his tickets not too far off from the entrance to the Kyocera Dome and tried to communicate that I wanted his tickets. We couldn't understand each other, so I dramatically opened my wallet and grabbed every bill I had and gave it to the man. He just sighed and begrudgingly gave me the tickets for the money. I think we ended up paying 2 or 3 times the face value of the tickets, but we were so happy to be able to get in there and experience the game. When we got into the game, we noticed we were the only foreigners in the entire stadium. A lot of people stopped to look at us and smile. And during the 7th inning stretch, without any sort of warning, the entire crowd blew up these long and skinny yellow balloons. We had no idea where everyone got them or why they were blowing up the balloons. Suddenly, everyone got a signal and let go of the balloons all at once. The balloons had some type of noise-making device attached to them. They made a piercing shriek as thousands of people let their balloons go flying. There were about 20 seconds of pure insanity until most of the balloons had fallen, which was then followed by a cheer from the crowd, an atmosphere that was electric for the rest of the game. The game was a huge highlight of our trip, and we'd recommend everyone go and see a baseball game in Japan if they can. Thank you guys for sharing our story. And Ben has attached a photo of the balloons, and they look like big yellow sperm. It literally just looks like a sperm.
They do.
The way the shape
they do it. Look like big yellow sperm. Is it kind of like the stripes drawn on them, or did they draw on them themselves?
Stripes.
Or it's just they. I cannot imagine how loud that noise was.
There's like 10, 20,000 of them. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
I've never been to a baseball game, actually, in Japan.
No.
You've never been to one either, have you?
No, I went to see the Atlanta Braves once, and it was a 0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-1 game.
Oh,
so, whichever the team won by one. Is that one run? I guess it's one run, isn't it? I suppose.
Yeah.
Very, very. There's not a lot of action in that game. But they, I mean, I guess half the time they're really tired out. It was a Sunday night. I know I was. I was hungover the hell. I was just eating Dippin' Dots. The best thing about baseball, and certainly in America, is they have sweets there that you don't see anywhere else. Like I don't really sort of run into Dippin' Dots very often. But because I was on a massive hangover come down, I was just going Dippin' Dots.
I have no interest in baseball or sports or fun. But if there's sweets involved, then I could be enticed very quite easily.
Yes, please.
Yes, I remember I was seeing a football game at Wembley Stadium, and I was more interested in all the beer and all the sweets and all the food that I could consume and gorge on while watching the football game than the game itself.
I like
especially
as
England lost.
In modern football matches at the concession stands, you invariably get a beer in a pint glass, but it's filled up from the bottom. You know, like they have those plastic cups, and they put them on that machine, and the beer fills from the bottom up rather than in, which is for a person who's very interested in novelty. It's very interesting. And also you can go to your mate and poke your finger through the bottom of the pint and he just gets beer on his shoes.
What's the point of that? Why'd they do that? What's the benefit?
Might be quicker. Might be quicker. Does it settles quicker? I don't really know. Yeah, it probably is quicker, isn't it? Because it probably just fills up like that.
When you're filling up 80,000, I suppose speed is the essence, right? You know.
Yeah.
Get the beer in. That's pretty cool.
Exactly.
I've learned something new on the podcast. I've learned about beer and how it's poured in a football stadium.
But Chris, we can kind of move on to a new story, but it's an extension of the new story we've had a couple of weeks ago, and we talk about concession stands. There's still a massive potato shortage in Japan. You still cannot get fries anywhere. McDonald's obviously had a bit of bother where they couldn't get the fries and stuff. So other like convenience stores and stuff, they have upped the ante by sourcing different kinds of potato. It's like kind of it's like a space race, but it's with spuds.
The Cold War. The potato war.
The rival chain of McDonald's Freshness Burger. Have you had a Freshness Burger recently?
You know
they're
what?
All right, aren't they?
Freshness Burger's pretty good. I want one right now, actually. I haven't had one in 3 years. Mm. They're pretty good.
Go and get
good
one.
Good cheese.
Go and get one. But they've launched a... they've launched their We Got Potatoes campaign.
No way.
And they've basically increased how many potatoes, how many fries you get in your regular and large orders of fries by 25%, and they haven't changed the price. So they're basically saying... McDonald's, this massive multinational conglomerate, cannot get themselves some potatoes to make their fries, but us here at Freshness Burger, we've managed to source potatoes from somewhere else, and we're giving you more fries than ever before. So they're just basically sensing blood in the water, and they're just going for it and going after McDonald's' piece of the action. And even the convenience stores are getting in on the action. Mini-Stop, which I'm not familiar with. Do you see a lot of mini-stops around? Have they kind of sprung up over that? I don't really know what they look
it's
like.
It's kind of like the fourth convenience store. A lot of people swear by Mini-Stop's ice cream. It's got like the best soft serve.
Right.
Which is
okay.
Not good enough to justify going in my view.
We lost Sunkus, and now we've got Mini-Stop. But they basically have announced the bucket potato, three times the regular amount of their fried potatoes for 641 yen. Which I mean, if you're paying $6 for almost $6 for a load of potatoes, I think that's it. Too much money, to be honest. Too much food.
And
they're not really fries anyway, they're crisps, they're kind of like ridged shaped kind of crisps, but they're basically but apparently Mini-Stop have been able to sort of increase the amount of chips they've made and how many potatoes they've been able to use. They've been sourcing special Agria potatoes from Germany. It's this massive kind of like, yeah, there's a chip shortage coming from the east to the west when it comes to consumer electronics, and west to east there's a massive chip shortage from big brands trying to source or getting the inside track on some where they can get some sweet spuds.
So
hopefully
ridiculous.
The money is going to the farmers.
This is ridiculous. I went to McDonald's 3 days ago. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I went to McDonald's. I was a late night out. I think it was like 2 a.m. Yeah. It was the last place that was open. I had no choice, simply put. And I got my French fries, and they only had small size. And I was like, oh, a bit rubbish. But I thought it was ended. I thought it was finished. I thought, you know, back to normal, back to reality. Give me my medium-sized fries. But yeah, because the potatoes come from North America, they're just not coming for whatever reason. But I just can't believe all these companies are just like... trying to take advantage of the situation. I very seldom see people eating like fried potatoes, French fries in the streets of Japan.
Yeah.
It's not like that popular. Like all convenience stores in the fried chicken counter bit or the fried foods, they've got like French fries, and it's always the last thing that's there at the end of the day. It's the last thing that's there because nobody wants them. So I guess more than anything, it's just a PR stunt. Cheeky companies. Like Mini-Stop, the marketing team are like, let's fuck over McDonald's. Let's show these bastards. Let's get these mega-sized bucket potatoes. But nobody's going to eat them.
Good, eh?
I'm not going to eat them. My loyalty to McDonald's is unshakable. Yeah. Damn you, Mini-Stop.
Fair. But it rolls on. You know, it's the 100-year spud war. It will never end.
Japan's French fry cold war. When will it end? When will it end? Could be worse. Could be an absence of chicken. Luckily, the chicken's still here. If something goes wrong with the chicken, then I might have to leave. I might have to get on the first plane.
They can fly off themselves, can't they? Give them a little bit of help.
Oh, God. We'll be back with the fax machine, your comments, stories, and questions in just a moment.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan. This week, Clive Anderson is joined by comedian Stephen K. Amos on My Seven Wonders, the show where guests select their personal seven wonders of the world. Stephen discusses his fame down under, who inspires his comedy, and how he got on during lockdown.
My dad, early 80s, came to stay with me for 2 weeks of the lockdown. I had no idea, after all these years, that he is a twat. I had no idea, Clive, that the heating in my house could be set to lava. And I said to him, why is the heating on so high? And without skipping a beat, he just said, I don't pay the bill here. Now, this is the kind of thing I have to deal with.
Listen to My Seven Wonders with Clive Anderson on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Donaldson?
We've got a message from Amber Rose. Hello, Chris and Pete. My name is Amber. I'm a 29-year-old from New York living in Kochi in Japan. Recently on a podcast episode, Chris mentioned that Japan released the first ever train-bus hybrid, the DMV. Living in Shikoku, I decided to check it out for myself. The DMV was cool and all, but nothing compared to the vast amount of the train bus omiyagi available. They had train bus plushies, an edible train bus wafer puzzle, and the best yet, a train bus and cute kittens calendar. My question for both of you, what is the most interesting omiyagi you've ever seen in Japan for something oddly specific like the DMV, Amber Rose? It's mainly for me, like kind of train-shaped toys and sweets that you see at the train station. Because it's very hard to sort of dress that up as anything other than you buying something at the train station last minute. You can't say that you've thought about it. You can't turn up and give it to a child sort of going, this is for you, I thought you'd like it. You're basically going, right, I've got 5 minutes till the Shinkansen. I'm grabbing some bananas, some of those foam bananas, and I'm running on the train.
I don't know really. I used to go out my way to look at all the weird, funny English on omiyage. You know, they can't just say there was a omiyage souvenir for like some oranges, and instead of just calling them oranges, They couldn't just say it's an orange. They had to say something really elaborate and silly, like they always do. And it was like, these are delicious treats from the sky, created by the sun.
Delicious treats the warmth from the of the sky. Sun.
In the palm Fantastic. Of your hand. It is nonsense. Nonsense. But the only Omiyage souvenirs I actively buy, and, you know, souvenirs are a really big part of Japan's culture. Whenever you travel anywhere or do anything, you're expected to come back with a sort of souvenir, like some chocolate biscuits, some tea, whatever is kind of famous in that area. When I was a teacher, a lot of my colleagues often lied and hid the fact they were traveling anywhere because they didn't want to come back and have to bring omiyage, because it's like really rude if it's publicly known that you're going somewhere and you don't return with sweets or omiyage or anything, then it's kind of like really rude. So a lot of people would lie. But the only one that I ever bought was the Tokyo bananas, which are amazing. Tokyo banana, isn't it?
Tokyo bananas are just kind of like banana shaped kind of cake, effectively.
Yeah. Filled with banana flavoured cream. And I want one now. But they're so soft.
Yes, please.
It's like velvet, like a velvet owl. We got one here from.
Last time we recorded, Chris, you were eating some horrific sort of pre made pancake and cream and strawberry monstrosity. How did that one go down?
Oh, yeah. What was it? Omelette the cream? Omelette the cream
omelette
I was eating,
the cream,
it?
Yeah.
Omelette the cream. It was awful. It was like a little eggy mess filled with cream.
A little eggy mess.
And two strawberries. And it just didn't work. And nothing about it was good, especially the branding. Omelette the cream. Who thought that was an appropriate name for a sweet? We've got one here from Alistair, who says, "Hello, King Chris and Esquire Pete from the Cayman Islands." Oh, very nice. Cayman Islands. What would the Chris and Pete tour of Japan include, guys? I'll say 14 days, start and finish, wherever you want. Let me know. Thank you for all you guys do, and we look forward to hearing from you. Alistair. Man, I want to go to the Cayman Islands. What's in the Cayman Islands, apart from banks and nice weather?
I think it's just banks, isn't it? It's just banks and tax. People run away from their tax.
An omelette the cream. I'd love to go, though. Yeah. Love to go. 14 days in Japan. Today, really. I mean, Pete, where would you go? I've never been to Japan. I don't know my way around.
Have you? Yeah, never been to Japan. Go up to Sendai, annoy Chris for a bit. Go up to the Fox Place. Get roped into a silly bike ride so he can make himself happy about his life. I do the normal. Start Tokyo, do 1 weekend in Tokyo, fly down to Fukuoka, and then make your way back within the rest of the 10 days you've got. I would say that's the best way. Make sure you get a weekend in, or make sure you get like a Thursday night or a Friday night in Osaka, because that is a banging night out.
Absolutely. Osaka's got to be in there. I'd love to go there again. I haven't been there in a while. Yeah, that's actually a pretty good way of doing it. I think I did that route a few times. Like, I recommend, like, don't waste time getting night buses. I know it's a lot cheaper. Unless you're on a real tight budget, avoid night buses, because you're just losing time, right? If this is your once-in-a-lifetime trip, make the most of it. Yeah. Fly everywhere or get a bullet train.
Completely agree.
I'd fly to Fukuoka and then work your way back up through Hiroshima. Maybe you could stop at Okunoshima, Bunny Rabbit Island. Fun for the whole family. Unless you've got a bunny rabbit allergy. And then work your way up to Himeji Castle. And then into Kobe, get some cheeky Wagyu beef, go to Kobe Chinatown. Night out in Osaka, see some temples in Kyoto, back to Tokyo, job done. Get some omelette the cream. We've got one here from efficient. Mitch, Mandy and Maggie. Lots of alliteration there. I'll let you read that one out, Pete. It's your big job.
Okay, this is from Mitch, Mandy and Maggie. All the M's, the M&M crew. Hello, AIJ crew. We're big fans of the show, especially since we moved to Okinawa. Wow. Ooh. Mitch, Mandy and Maggie are in Okinawa. We've been told that Oki is very different from the mainland, but since we spend so little time up north, it's hard to spot the differences, except the lighter use of concrete in the buildings. Hmm. Oh, do they go for wood and stones like that? What, in your experience, sets Okinawa apart culturally from the rest of Japan?
I think the people are kind of a little bit different. They're a little bit more laid back in Okinawa. There is a subtly different culture Okinawa is part of the Ryukyu Kingdom. It was kind of like separate from Japan historically. It is different. The food is a little bit different. They've got what's it called? Haporshu, the snake sake.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's one of those things that people actually drink or if it's like a tourist trap. Because there's a street in Naha, the capital of Okinawa, where they've just got loads of weird and wacky stuff. Like they've got like a every store has bottles of sake out the front with a snake in it. They've got handbags made out of frogs, like an actual frog that's just been hollowed out, and it's pretty messed up, to be honest. I did a video on Okinawa years ago, and you can see it in that. Like it's pretty extreme. Yeah.
Is it kind of is it just because you know, Marines are usually sort of stationed in places like Guam and stuff, and the locals just sort of go, right, what like crazy shit can we sell to the squaddies and stuff? And obviously Okinawa is a big
base
as well. It's probably
I think it's just one of those things that is a omiyage of kind of like of Okinawa almost, but like yeah, people are definitely laid back there. Like our friend Jackie, you know, Jackie's kind of. Not your average Japanese girl. She's a little bit quirky and like chilled out. She's a little bit different. There's something about Jackie that's different from a mainland Japanese girl. Can't quite put my finger on what it is, but she's like I don't know. What else in Okinawa is different? The sea. The sea is nice. Swimming in the sea is beautiful.
Very sunny. It's kind of like I'm always astounded at how different the like it'll start to get warm now, won't it? Pretty much like the winter will have gone and it'll start getting a little bit. It'll start becoming quite summery in about a month's time. Knowing Okinawa, it's crazy warm.
When I was in Niseko skiing with the Trash Taste guys about a month ago, there was quite a lot of American service folks, military service folks that were there that had flown up from Okinawa, and they were like, yeah, man, it's 15, 20 degrees down in Okinawa, and I was like, what? You lucky bastards. I'd love to go anywhere that's not freezing right now. I do think Okinawa is a place that warrants our attention in 2022. It is like the one part of Japan I've neglected. You know, I know, just because it's a bit further away. You've got to be on a flight for 2 or 3 hours, and I don't like flying. But I do want to spend some time at Okinawa this year. That is like top of my sort of hit list to explore some of the islands around Japan a bit more, both south and east. But I'd love to go. Have some snake sake. It's supposed to be good for good aphrodisiac. Snake sake.
That's it. It's always that, innit? Selling your bottle of nonsense to a bloke, won't they?
I think I had it once. It's just really bitter. It doesn't taste good, having a snake in your drink.
Probably sitting around for years, that bottle as well.
I dread to think. Yeah. And you've got spam as well. So you get Okinawa, you have your spam, you have your snakes up there, have your frog handbag. Job done, isn't it?
Night beautiful.
Out Okinawa. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys, to all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week, and we'll see you later in the week to all over again. Right back here on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now, guys.
All right, good.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.